All right, take your Bibles this morning, please. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 29. 2 Chronicles chapter 29 for the message this morning. I want to give you a little overview of what's happening here in this chapter, and then I will read to you the text. And I want to give you a little picture this morning. I'm going to kind of explain to you what's going on here, then show it to you, then I will kind of develop the message around a picture that I want you to think of that is presented for us in the text verse. If you look at this chapter, you'll see in verse 1 that Hezekiah assumes the throne of Judah. Hezekiah was a good man. He was not a perfect man, but yet he was a good man. He was a good king. A lot better than his dad who reigned before him. His dad did a lot to destroy the foundations that that the Jews held as fundamental to life. And here this man, Ahaz was his name, was a false tolerant of all these false gods and so forth, and it just about completely destroyed Judah. But then he died, and his son Hezekiah took the throne. And when he did, he brought great reform to the land. Now, this chapter is describing that reform that he brought. He went in and cleaned up the temple. And they polished everything and put everything where it was supposed to be, and basically decided we're going to live for God, we're going to do things right, and he became a great king in Judah's history. Now, when you get toward the end of this chapter, we'll start reading at verse 25. We see that once it was all done, once the temple was all cleaned up and they were ready to start living for God again, Hezekiah decided to have this big grand opening ceremony. They were going to open the doors of the temple. They were going to offer sacrifices. There was going to be prayer, and it was just going to be a great day. And so let's read what happened on this great opening day of ceremony at the house of the Lord. Beginning in verse 25, look at it. It says, "And he set the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals, with psalteries, and with harps, according to the commandment of David and of Gad, the king's seer, and Nathan the prophet." So he went all the way back several generations and emulated what David and Gad and Nathan did in worship of the Lord. He went all the way back, not going to fool around with all this false deity stuff and all this junk that's been going on, all this modern, contemporary stuff. Nope, went all the way back to its foundation, David and Gad and Nathan, and said, "This is how we're going to do it." All right, so it says, "For so was the commandment of the Lord by his prophets. And the Levites stood with the instruments of David, and the priest with the," what's the next word? "Trumpets," all right? "The priest with the trumpets." Now, I'm going to preach to you this morning a message I've entitled, "The Opening Trumpets." The Opening Trumpets. Look at verse 27. Here's my text. It says, "And Hezekiah commanded to offer the burnt offering up on the altar. And when the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord began also with the trumpets." Now, I'd like for you to underline that little phrase right there, if you will. That's where I'm taking my message this morning. It says, "And the burnt offering began," and here's what I want you to underline. "When the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord began also with the trumpets and with the instruments ordained by David, king of Israel. And all the congregation worshiped, and the singers sang, and the trumpeters sounded. And all this continued until the burnt offering was finished. Now go back to verse 27 and look at that. When the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord began also with the trumpets. I want to speak to you today on the opening trumpets. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you so much for the Word of God. And Lord, we're amazed at all the things that are in this great book. I pray that you will bless this morning as we open the scriptures and, Lord, as we look into its precious truths. I pray that you will fill me with your Spirit and help me as I speak. And Lord, you know my heart. I want to be a blessing, but I can only do that if you enable and help me and bless me as I speak. Lord, you know that what's on my heart to say. And I pray that you will give me wisdom to say it, and Lord, just guide and direct. And then may you speak to our hearts, Father. I pray that every person here will be brought under the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, that we will see the importance of sounding the opening note, that we'll see the importance of the trumpet, we'll see the importance of the Bible. And so, Lord, just give us, I pray, your direction and your blessing. Speak to our hearts now, Father, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right, I have preached on Hezekiah several times in the past, and just recently I preached a message on Hezekiah. If you remember how he got angry at the Lord and turned his face to the wall and all that, and God promised him he'd give him an extra 15 years of life. You remember all that? Well, Hezekiah was a good man. He was one of Judah's greatest kings. He was so different than his father. His dad's name was Ahaz, and he nearly destroyed Judah with his tolerance for all the false gods of the Canaanites. And God judged Israel, or Judah, and God judged Ahaz because of that. And Hezekiah then came on the scene, and his first great work was to clean the temple, to reopen the temple, and to reestablish temple worship and the sacrifices and so on. And so when he came into power, he found that the temple was in a terrible, terrible state of disrepair. So he started immediately to fix it and to get the nation where they could focus upon the God of heaven once again. Now, once things were all cleaned up and polished and straightened, the excited king had a great celebration, a great ceremony to celebrate the opening of the temple once again. It was a great, magnificent occasion. And we are told in verse 27 that 25, 26, and 27 that what he did was he got the Levites into the house of the Lord, and they had cymbals and they had psalteries, and verse 25 they had harps, and he went back to when David was king and how David worshiped God and said, you know, God bless David, so I'll go back and do what David did. And so he brought these instruments into the house of the Lord to be used in worship. And you'll notice in verse 26 that the Levites stood with all these instruments, and the priest had trumpets in their hands. Now, in verse 27, it says that when Hezekiah commanded to offer the burnt offering upon the altar, and when the burnt offering began, you'll notice here, it says, the song of the Lord began also with the trumpets and with the instruments ordained by David, king of Israel. So once things were all cleaned and polished and straightened up and the ceremony was ready to begin, we're told in verse 27 that the song of the Lord, notice, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. What does that mean? Well, that means Jehovah God, the God of the covenant, the God of redemption. That's God's covenant name in the Bible. And so he said the song of the Lord began also with the trumpets and with the instruments ordained by David. Now, notice carefully, the song of the Lord began also with the trumpets. Now, look at your Bible. It is apparent from what is said in the verse that there were other musical instruments that were played. But my text says that the song of the Lord began. In other words, it started off with the trumpets playing. It began with the trumpets. And I want you to concentrate your thoughts with me this morning on that little phrase. The song of the Lord began with the trumpets. Now you say, well, Pastor, what's so important about that? All right, now think about it. Out of all of the instruments in the orchestra, the trumpet is the instrument of power. The trumpet is the instrument of power. We use the term, the trumpet blast. The trumpet is, its note is not one of sweetness. It is one of strength. It is a blast. That's exactly what it is. The trumpet stirs to action. The trumpet calls the soldier to battle. It is the instrument that sounds the alarm. Now, can you imagine? I mean, think about it. You've got an army on one side, an army on the other side, and a big battlefield in the middle. And so the general says, "All right, sound the alarm." And the guy pulls a piccolo out and starts playing a piccolo. No, no. You pull the trumpet out and you blast from the trumpet as the call to action. And so the text here says that the Lord, or the song of the Lord, began with a blast from this instrument of strength. Now, folks, it seems to me, as I thought on this matter, that the song of the Lord has a way of doing just that. It has a way, it begins with a push. It begins with a blast. The song of the Lord, whatever it is, begins with a blast. There is a place in the song of the Lord for every instrument, but the shrill blast of the trumpet was its prelude. It's what got the song started. Now, the question then becomes, well, what is the song of the Lord? What is the song of the Lord? And here's the amazing thing. The Bible doesn't tell us what it was. I mean, I started looking, I started searching and reading what others had to say about it. And they all came to the same conclusion I did. We don't know what it was. But we do know that in verse 27, that they sang the song of the Lord. And so I started thinking, well, what is the song of the Lord? What is it? The song of the Lord. And we don't know, but we do know this. We know that it all started with the blast of the trumpet. The song of the Lord. Again, there is a place in the song for every instrument, but the song began with the sound of the trumpet. Now, let's think of this order. All right? The trumpet at the beginning. Let's the song of the Lord, but the trumpet at the beginning. And let me give you a few things that I think I can safely say this morning are the song of the Lord. And that being true, let's think about the trumpet at the beginning of the song of the Lord. First of all, the first thing, let me give you three things that I think we could say are the song of the Lord. Right here is number one. Amen. The Bible. This book is the song of the Lord. Folks, do you realize that we would not know anything about God were it not for this Bible? Would not do you a bit of good to go to World Book Encyclopedia and look up what World Book has to say, because it wouldn't have the answer. How do we know about God? Right here. How do we know what God's plan is? Right here. How do we know what God expects? Right here. This is it. This is the song of the Lord. The Bible, whatever else it may be, is in a great and glorious way the song of the Lord. When you think about it, the Bible is music for the soul. It lifts us up when we're down. It brings us out of ourselves and out of our fears and removes our doubts. The Bible is music to our ears, but it is different from any other kind of music in that it is the music of the infinite God of heaven, and it rings in every soul. God has given us a book that is strangely and strangely beautiful and rich in melody. And so unforgettable is this sweet melody that it sticks with us through all the storms and battles that we have to face. And when our time comes to die, the promises of the Bible are what gives us the strength to look death right in the face and see it through eyes of faith and eyes of hope. Man, what a book this is. What a book this is. You know, from the time I was a little kid, if I heard a song one time, I pretty well knew that song. I mean, even from the time I was a kid, if I heard a song one time, I pretty much knew that song. Maybe not perfectly, but I knew that song. And it's the same way today. I can hear, you all notice, I sing with the choir while they're singing up here. I just hear a song, I know that song. And sometimes Brian will give me a look like, tone it down, Buster. But no, he doesn't. But the point is, you know, the song just sticks in your mind. There, and a lot of you are that way. You know why I know that? Because I sit here and look out at you. You're singing too. Yes, sir. There's something about a song that just sticks in your heart. Brethren, listen, that's what the Bible is. That's why we need to read the Bible and love the Bible and study the Bible, because like a song, it rings through our souls. Man, there is nothing like the Word of God. You'll find yourself in times of despair or times of distress. You'll find yourself hurting. You'll find yourself grieving. And where can you go but to the Lord? Amen. You go to the living Word and you find comfort and solace for your soul. God has given us a book that is rich in melody and rich in beauty. Think back now. Now, let's go to our text. Now, look at a principle. All right. The song of the Lord began with the trumpet. What did the trumpet do? Da, 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 da. The trumpet blasted. The trumpet got your attention. Let's think about this. Go back to the beginning of your Bible. Go back to Genesis. You don't have to turn to it. You know it. Genesis 1:1. What does that say? What's the blast that begins the Bible? What is it that just rings and demands our attention? What is it that just cries out, hey, listen to this? Here comes the song of the Lord. It begins with the trumpet blast. What is that trumpet blast? In the beginning, God. Wow. In the beginning, God. Folks, that's where it all begins, right there. That's where it all starts. I mean, I think right here, I think that here, as in the temple ritual of our text, it is with the trumpet that the song of the Lord begins. And what a blast this first statement is. In the beginning, God. This trumpet announces to every person that there's a God in heaven. You know, the Bible, don't you find it strange? The Bible does not explain that statement. It just makes that statement. In the beginning, God. Let me ask you, if we were to dismiss right now and all walk out on the parking lot and look up into the sky, you would see an airplane. You'd see a bunch of airplanes because they're all coming out of the northeast and they fly right over Westminster. And as you stand and watch that airplane go over, you could stand there and look up at that. Now, let me ask you, would you naturally assume that there is somebody sitting at the controls of that aircraft guiding it through the air? Huh? You would not look up and say, well, look at there. I wonder how that got up there. No, you would naturally assume, would you not? You would naturally assume that somebody was flying that airplane. It's just not there by circumstance. It's just not there by accident. It didn't just all of a sudden, poof, appear in the sky. No, there is somebody that is at the control. In the beginning, God. Brethren, look at this world. Look at the human body. Look at the universe. Look at the rotation of the earth. Look at the moon, how it spins. Look at the sunrise and the sunset. Look at the human body and all the intricacies. We are wonderfully and fearfully made. I mean, think about all that is. I tell you, it's crazy for you to sit here and just say, I guess it just all happened. Just evolution, you know. Big bang millions of years ago, and now, woo, look at us today. Boy, we've come a long way, haven't we? Folks, it is more ridiculous to sit and think that that's the way creation happened. It's even more ridiculous than look up and think, well, wonder how that got up there. The trumpet blast. God is. The trumpet announces right at the beginning that God is the creator of all. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You see, faith is the foundation for all of it. Now, I wasn't here when the world was created. I wasn't here. Few folks were. No. Trying to make sure you're awake. No, we weren't. None of us were there. Well, then how do you know what happened? Faith. Amen. I believe it by faith. In the beginning, God. And that's the foundation. Folks, that's the trumpet blast. That is God saying, hey, look, that Bible is the song of the Lord. Everything you're going to know about God, everything you're going to know about salvation, everything you're going to know about heaven, you're going to find it in the Bible. And the trumpet blast begins and tells you that you got to have faith in Almighty God. So I don't have that. Not much hope for you then. Sorry. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. The first note is to believe that God is. You know, the Jews, when I was reading, trying to find out what this song of the Lord is, which nobody knew, I read where the Jews, who are known for their ancient traditions, I mean, they're just it's amazing all the traditions that they have and the legends that have spun off of the traditions. But the Jews have an ancient tradition that says in heaven there is a trumpet played every morning, like reveille, you know, wake up. It's tradition. There's no Bible for it. All right. Please understand that there's no Bible for it. But the Jews believed that there's a trumpet played every morning. Now, that was further spun. The tradition was spun until it became a legend. And the legend is told that some folks went to the devil, to Lucifer, the son of the morning. They went to Lucifer and asked him, what do you miss most about heaven? And the legend says that he responded, I miss the sound of the trumpets in the morning. I miss the sound of the trumpets in the morning. Hey, folks, listen. I think we should start every day with the sound of the trumpet. Start every day in the Bible. Every day reading the scriptures. We sometimes get so busy with life that we let the days pass without stopping to hear the trumpets. And all that we would believe that God is and realize that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I wonder if any of us sitting here this morning would be honest with ourselves and say, you know, I miss the trumpets sounding in the morning. I haven't been reading my Bible like I should, and I missed that fellowship with my Heavenly Father. Brethren, listen, there is nothing any better than realizing you've got God's Word here. Oh, read the Bible. Christian, read the Bible. Learn your Bible. Love your Bible. Meditate upon your Bible. Sit and read it and hide its words in your heart. It's the song of the Lord. And it'll bless you. And it'll guide your steps. Number two, let's look at this text as illustrative of our Lord's earthly ministry. Now, we saw, first of all, as illustrating the Bible. But now, secondly, I want you to think with me how it illustrates our Lord's earthly ministry. You see, in my first point, I applied my text to the written word. And now I want to apply the text to the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ. There was never a ministry as rich in its variety as was our Lord's ministry. In just 3.5 years, and in such confined space as that little old tiny nation of Israel, in spite of all the limitations that he had upon him, there was never a man who has so impacted the world in such degree as the Lord Jesus Christ. The song of his ministry was one filled with love and grace and mercy. I mean, from Matthew all the way to the end of John, we see a life and a ministry that is filled with the grace and goodness of God. His ministry reached out and he loved the sinner and he loved the hurting and he loved the brokenhearted and he loved the worst of mankind, but also he loved the best, or at least in their own eyes, they thought they were the best. He loved them all. The song of Christ's ministry was a song of scorn for the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. But then he would turn right around, and with compassion and mercy, he would extend a helping hand to those that had been cast out by society. The song of his ministry gave hope. It gave joy to the lepers and to the blind and to the deaf and to folks that were born with crippling diseases. Just think of the variety of people who were blessed by his dwelling among men. And here again, as in the written word, it is with the trumpet the song begins. You say, Pastor, what was the trumpet at the beginning? Well, it's really important that you see this. Do you remember at the beginning of his ministry, the Bible says that after he was baptized and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, you then flip the page in your Bible and you will see that then the Spirit led him away into the wilderness. Why? To be tempted of the devil. The Spirit of the Lord led him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. You see, if you remember, the devil came at him and tempted him to sin and to disobey God. Now, what does that mean for us? Well, he fired back with every temptation that the devil gave him. He fired back a loud trumpet blast and he sinned not. Do you remember how he answered all three of the devil's temptations? With the word of God, right? He, when the devil came and tempted him, he fired back with the word. The living word fired back with the written word. And with each temptation, he fired back with a loud trumpet blast and he sinned not. He answered with the scriptures and came away unscathed by the devil's attempt to get him to fail. So what does that mean for you and me? Listen carefully now, folks. The temptation came at the beginning of his ministry. But later he would say, I am the bread of life. Do you remember over here the devil said, hey, you look hungry to me. Won't you turn these stones into bread? And he answered back, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And because of what he did here, it gave him the ability to stand up over here after the temptation and boldly proclaim to everybody, hey, I am the bread of life. I am the living way. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Later, he would be able to say, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But at the beginning of the song of his earthly ministry, in the opening of the song of the Lord, he had to say, get thee behind me, Satan. For man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. In the beginning, he had to say, oh no, thou shalt worship God, and only him shalt thou serve. My dear friends, I'm saying that is the trumpet note, and our text tells us that the song of the Lord begins with the trumpets. Clear, certain, sure, and ringing with an unfaltering sound. Calling men to battle against the wiles of the devil. And he defeated the devil. How? By quoting scripture to him. That's how. And that's how we're going to defeat the devil in our lives. Now, some of you, you've been saved for a little while now. You've been saved for a little while. And now you know the excitement's starting to wear off of your Christian life a little bit. And you're finding that, hey, you know, I used to want to read the Bible. Now I don't necessarily want to read it. I pretty much know what a lot of it has to say. You used to get excited about coming to church. But now, you've heard all the jokes and, you know, it's just, maybe I won't hurt if I miss just a few services here and there. Well, you know, we need to be careful, folks. The trumpet gets sounded at the beginning. All right, that trumpet gets sounded at the beginning. Set the standard, set the goal, set the foundation. Blow the trumpet loudly and get in your Bible. Put your defense up with the Word of God. That's what Jesus did. And it gave him, on the other side, gave him the strength to keep on keeping on and do the right thing. Christian, I cannot overemphasize to you the importance of believing in the God of the Bible. But I also cannot overstress to you the importance of then living in the Bible. I mean, the song of the Lord begins with the trumpets. It was so with Christ. It will be so with us. Christian, stay in the book. Stay in the book. Read it every day. Read it every day. Then thirdly, let's apply this text to the church. You know, since Pentecost, the song of the Lord has been sung by the church of Jesus Christ. That's God's plan. I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's what our Lord said. Our Lord said to the disciples who gathered around him after the resurrection, he said, go and preach the gospel to every creature. And so you flip from the gospels into the book of Acts. And what do you find? You find the disciples doing exactly what Jesus told them to do. It has been sung, the song of the Lord has been sung in great cathedrals. It's been sung throughout history in little tiny church houses that dot our countryside. The song of the Lord has been sung by missionaries that have left the comforts of home and left the comforts of this country to go to some foreign land just to preach the gospel. Thank God for those people. The song of the Lord has been sung in family rooms and even around breakfast tables where two or three have gathered together in his name. Oh, what wonderful notes have blended into harmony in that magnificent song of the redeemed who have exclaimed, to God be the glory, great things he hath done. But again, let's go to the beginning of the church and look at the book of Acts. I love the book of Acts. I love it. Turn with me, please, over to Acts chapter 4 for just a minute. Let's see what the what the opening trumpet sound was in the book of Acts for the church. Go to Acts chapter 4, please. Go to Acts chapter 4. Think of the apostles now and think of the message they preached. Don't forget my text. The trumpets started the song of the Lord. Don't forget that now. The trumpets. The instrument that blasts. The instrument that demands attention. So now let's go to the book of Acts and let's think about the message that the disciples preached. Just a bunch of old, uneducated, humble fishermen, a bunch of no-named nobodies, and yet here they are standing up and preaching the Word of God. Look at chapter 4. Look at chapter 4. Let's begin here in verse 8. Look at it. It says, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified." Man, I bet that got the emails coming, don't you? Huh? Yeah, that's not exactly preaching that you want to use to influence people to love you. Oh, my soul, look at that. He accused them of killing the Lord Jesus, by whom God, however, raised from the dead. Even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we, what's the next word? Must be saved. That's pretty good preaching right there. That's pretty good trumpet blowing right there. I mean, they are blowing the trumpet. They are blowing the trumpet. Now look at the next verse. Now, when they, speaking of the Sanhedrin, speaking of the Sadducees and the Pharisees, look at it carefully now. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they, what's the next word? Marveled. Wow. These guys hadn't been to college. Hey, these Pharisees and Sadducees had been to college. They had been to grad school. They were educated. They were fools, but they were educated. They were educated fools. But they looked at these disciples and they said, these guys are fishermen. They don't have any education. Why, they didn't go to our schools. They don't have any letters. But now look at the rest of the verse. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Men took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. Now think, folks. What made these men say this about the disciples? It was not any learning they displayed, for they were unlearned and ignorant men, meaning that they did not have education. Men took notice of them that they had been with Jesus because of the boldness they exhibited. These men had heard the trumpet that they were sounding. They heard the song of the Lord that they were sounding. They heard the trumpet that they were sounding. And they recognized the song. The reason they recognized the song is because they had grown weary. These same men had grown weary of Jesus playing that song. They put him to death. They thought it was all over. And then all of a sudden, here comes the disciples now, and they're blowing the trumpet, and lo and behold, it's the same song that Jesus had been playing. That's what it says. Last part of verse 13, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Hey, folks, where did they learn that song? Where'd they learn that tune they were playing? They learned it from the Lord. So you got three songs of the Lord here that we're looking at this morning. The Bible, the Savior, the church. Hey, see how it all fits? You and I are to blow the trumpet. We're to let the song of the Lord be heard. I mean, I told you all about this class I took in college. It was called Music Appreciation. And I got down to where I had to take one more class. I had to take a two-hour class. I had to have two more hours in order to graduate. I looked all over that catalog, and my advisor helped me look all over that catalog to find a two-hour course that I could take. And the only course that I could take was music appreciation. Yeah, serious, that was it. I thought, kicking and screaming, I'm going to go to music appreciation. I mean, I did not want to take it. I didn't know anything about music. But it ended up being, I enjoyed that class more. I remember more about that class than any other class I took. It was fascinating. And I gave myself to that class. I mean, going to the library and borrowing, signing out music just to listen to it and to learn it. It was amazing. And the background behind the music. And one of the things that I learned in that class was that in all of Handel's great oratorios. Now, you know who Handel was, right? The Messiah. Right? In all of Handel's great oratorios, he used trumpets when he wrote music. He used trumpets when God was entering into the scene. When God was coming into the oratorio, he always brought God in with the blaring of the trumpets. Always. When you heard the trumpet sound, when his audience heard the trumpet sound, they knew that it was a sign of approaching deity. And so I recognize that God is near when God's Spirit moves and speaks like he moved and spoke in these chapters in the book of Acts. Man, don't you long to see God doing something again? Don't you long to see that? Oh, folks, I could tell you a story. You know, you get outside of America, not necessarily in Europe, but you get outside of America and you get down into Africa and you get down into the far eastern countries and you preach, you see stuff akin to what happened in the book of Acts. I preached in the Philippines several years ago, had 1,500 teenagers, high school students, 1,500 stand for 35 minutes and listen as I preach the word of God. Hungry. Man, they sat there like little sponges just soaking it all up. And I gave the invitation and 1,500 precious souls trusted Christ as their Savior. Man, that's half of Pentecost. That was half of Pentecost. Was over in China and teaching in one of those underground churches or underground colleges. And those kids sitting there just soaking it up, eating it up, just absorbing everything you say. And then get down to the last couple of days and then say, hey, listen, let me tell you how to win somebody to Christ. And you're standing there telling them how to win somebody to Christ. And they're sitting there going, oh, no, I got a knowledge up here, but I don't have what you're talking about. And I saw that the Spirit of God led in my heart. I saw that. I turned and looked at Glenn and I said, these kids aren't saved. He said, they got it up here. I said, yeah, but they don't have it down here. And I went through the gospel with them and they're weeping and crying. And out of 132 of them, 128 of them received Christ as their Savior. Man, I long for that. I long to see that. That's just announcing the trumpet. It's just staying on cue. It's just taking the written word and talking about the living word and God blessing his church. And folks, that's the trumpet sound. That's what we need to be doing, sounding the trumpet. Oh, there's so much in that little phrase. But it all begins with you and me and this book. Read it, folks. Learn it. Love it. Study it. Meditate upon it. Hide its words in your heart. And get to know the Bible. You get to know the Bible, you'll get to know the God of the Bible.